Okay. The Gemara tells us over here on Daf Yiral from an Aleph, we touched on this yesterday, that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. We discussed if both parties have to be in Eretz Yisrael, the one conferring the smicha, the one receiving the smicha, but certainly it has to, at least the one conferring the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. And the way the Gemara's conclusion is that the one receiving the smicha as well has to be in Eretz Yisrael. So smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. That seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. However, the Rambam writes something surprising. Look over here in Perek Dalet of Sanhedrin Halacha Vav. I gave it to you over here, Ois Aleph. Ein sarim chin zekenim b'chutz laretz. He cannot do smicha zekenim b'chutz laretz. V'chol Eretz Yisrael sheikh ziku ba oile mitzrayim re'uya l'smicha. Any part of Eretz Yisrael which was captured by the oile mitzrayim, that's the sanctity that was endowed or bestowed upon Eretz Yisrael at the time of the kivush of Yehoshua on the way out of Mitzrayim. We discussed on a previous Sunday that there were two kedushas that were bestowed upon Eretz Yisrael, were endowed upon Eretz Yisrael. One is the kedusha, what's known by the Gemara as kedusha rishayna, the kedusha that Ezra bestowed upon Eretz Yisrael when he conquered it on the way out of Mitzrayim. That's called the Oile Mitzrayim. However, that is a discussion in the Gemara whether that was a permanent kedusha or a temporary kedusha. Perhaps it was only during the period of the Bais Rishon, but when the Bais Rishon was destroyed, perhaps that kedusha evaporated. Kedusha Rishayna was kitcha l'shaita, that for sure, for that period of time, but perhaps it was not lost at lava, it was not permanent. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, was kedusha Rishayna permanent? And even after the Korban Bais Rishon, Eretz Yisrael maintained its status of kedusha, or perhaps it was only temporary. And then, after the times of Yeshua, there was the Oile, there was the return to Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, the Oile Babel. So the Gemara assumes was Kedusha Shnia, the second time Eretz Yisrael was endowed with Kedusha, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, that Kedusha persisted, that Kedusha was permanent. The Rambam asks, maybe we'll get to it, the Rambam asks, what's the difference between these two Kedushas? How come one was temporary and one was permanent? So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Daud, Halacha Tezvav, a famous Rambam, that it's because the Kedusha Rishayna was bestowed upon Eretz Yisrael through Kivush, through conquering Eretz Yisrael. So Rambam says, you conquer it, then it's conquered by another nation. No, so the Kedusha disappears. It was Kivush by Yeshua, Kivush could disappear. But the Kedusha at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah was Chazaka. They came back and they just settled the land. They weren't in charge of the land. They weren't the ruling authority in the land like happened at the time of Yeshua. They came back as, subjects of the other government, but they weren't in charge. Nonetheless, they settled Eretz Yisrael. That was a different type of Kedusha. That's what the Rambam calls a Kedusha of Chazaka, of simply settling the land. And Chazaka does not dissipate or is not challenged by being conquered by another nation. So therefore, even though the Korban Bais Rishon occurred, the Kedusha of Chazaka, of simply settling the land, endured, and that became a permanent Kedusha that was endowed upon Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rambam's explanation. It's not exactly 100% satisfying. There's a lot to discuss within that. Maybe we'll get to it at the end of today if we have time. But that's the distinction that the Rambam suggests between the Kedusha Rishon and the Kedusha Shnia. The way we paskin, Rav HaRishon and paskin, Kedusha Rishon was kitcha l'shaita v'loy kitcha l'osid lavai, was a temporary kedusha, not a permanent one, and kedusha shnia was kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'osid lavai, and it was a permanent kedusha, the kedusha shnia. So Rabbi Sai, the Rambam says smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. What's Eretz Yisrael? What would you say? Yeah, the place where who came back? Yeshua came and he conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, all 12 Shvatim. Is that what they conquered in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah? No, far from it. There were many areas that were never became settled, like the Avar Yarden, as we'll see. That never became, Jordan never became resettled at the time of Oile Bavel. Or there were other parts of Eretz Yisrael simply were not settled at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So do those have Kedusha then? Now? Or did they have Kedusha? No, it has to be resettled. If we have resettled it, yes, then we might also be a continuation of Oile Bavel. But if it was never settled, so then can you, is that part of Eretz Yisrael? Is it Chayiv and Trumas, Eivar Yarden? Is it Trumas and Maestros, Eivar Yarden? It was conquered by Yeshua, Kedusha Rishayna, but was not conquered by Oile Bavel. So the Rambam writes in Perek Alpha of Trumas Halacha, Hey, Kol Shef Ziku Oile Mitzrayim, Viniskadesh Kedusha Rishayna, any area which was conquered by Yeshua and endowed with the first Kedusha, Kevin Shagalu Batlu Kedushasan. Once they were exiled, Kedusha evaporated. Here the Rambam evokes that principle, which he developed in Hilchos Beis Abchira, that Kedusha Rishayna was because of conquering. Well, okay, if it's conquered by another nation, then it's gone. But Kev and Shalu, Bnei HaGoyla, since they came back in the time of Ezra Nechemi, V'Ekziku B'Mikzas Ha'aretz, Kachua Kedusha Shnia. They settled part of Eretz Yisrael, that's a Kedusha Shnia, Medes Li'aylam, L'Shata U'V'Lasa Lavan. That's even a permanent kedusha that exists nowadays. Those areas are not kadosh, where they conquered Eilat Mitzrayim, but Eilat Bavel did not conquer, are not kadosh. So if we live there now, we are an extension of Eilat Bavel. So that's okay. Then, if Yeshua didn't conquer it either, let's say that Israel would have some manifest destiny, but they can barely maintain their own borders. But let's say they would develop some manifest destiny, but they want to conquer the whole Middle East. You know, Israel would become, we wouldn't be called aggressors. We'd actually be aggressors, let's say. You know, we would want to conquer the rest of the Middle East. That would not become Eretz Israel unless you had a Kivush Rabbin with a king and a Sanhedrin and Ur Bitumen. We discussed what you need in order to extend the borders of Eretz Israel. But if it's, let's say it's within the borders that were conquered by Yeshua, and we come in, but it was not resettled in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, we come and resettle those old properties, so then, yeah, they would be endowed with Kedusha Shnia. But let's say you have a part of Eretz Yisrael that was not resettled in Ezra and Nehemiah. It was only conquered at the time of Yeshua, but not resettled. As a Chayiv and Trumas and Maisers nowadays, Trumas and Maisers is an only Eretz Yisrael. Let's say you have produce that grows there, Arab produce. Chayiv and Trumas and Maisers? No, says the Rambam. It's only those areas that were resettled in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. The parts that were settled in the times of Yeshua, the Kedusha Rishayana was Kitchel Lashayat, but Loi Kitchel Lashayat, so it's gone now. No Trumas and Maisers. So, but yet, look at the Rambam, Perek Dalet Sanhedrin Lachavav. Smicha has to be where? In Eretz Yisrael. But then the Rambam says, V'chol Eretz Yisrael Shechziku Ba'oili Mitzrayim Ru'uya L'smicha. Any part that who conquered? Yahushua, can you confer smicha, let's say, to be a part of, the Avar Yarden. Avar Yarden was conquered by Yeshua, never resettled, even in our times. We have Jordanian produce. You have to separate Trumas and Maisers? No. Can you confer smicha in Jordan? Amman? Smicha conference? You can. Why? Ask the Minchas Chinuch. That's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not Kadosh anymore. You follow the question? Good kasha. The problem exists elsewhere. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Reitzeach, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, the din of Egla Rufa, which is at the bottom of Yudal Med Aleph. You find a dead person in between the two towns. You measure to the closest town that has a Beis Din, and that town has to bring an Egla Rufa and claim innocence in this person's death. So, ain't din Egla Rufa noigal b'Eretz Yisrael. Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein, and so too, Avar Yarden. Avar Yarden. What? Amman, Jordan. I don't know if that's in the halachic Avar Yarden. Is it in the close? Is it close to the... And where's Amman? Anybody? In my times, people used to still go there. You know, the... Yeah, Petro. Is that... People go there still in there? Yeah, they do? Yeah. People used to go to Cairo also. No one does that anymore, right? No. That's the guys who, you know, who didn't make it the whole first year, you know? Egypt, that was the route, you know? The way to get kicked out of Yeshiva was to go to Petro, then to Cairo, and then you go back home. You know? Anyway, so can you have Egla Ruf in Beirut, you know, in Amman? Beirut is Lebanon. Amman, Jordan? It's only in Eretz Yisrael, but yet it applies to Eivar Yarden. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shemitah, Eivar Yarden, Shvius, Nehekes, Bo Midivrayim. The Shemitah only Midirabbanon. Why lo yehu aratzas elo chamur me'eretz Yisrael shesiku ba'olam Mitzrayim? All this is olam Mitzrayim. It's not olam Bavel. So is it kadosh bizman hazeh? Eivar Yarden? No. Kedusha Rishayna was kitchel l'shaita, v'loy kitchel asid lavoi. So how come you can give smicha and egla rufas na'eg in the Eivar Yarden? That's the problem. Minchas Chinuch asked both these kashas on the Rambam. So Salvechik explained, but it's not only his, according to the name of Reb Chaim, that you see from here that there's another concept with regards to Eretz Yisrael. There's not only Kedushas Ha'aretz. The Kedushas Ha'aretz might, you know, vis-a-vis Trumas HaMaisos, might have been in doubt in times of Yeshua and dissipated, re-energized, revitalized in the times of Ezra. But besides that, besides the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the formal Kedusha vis-a-vis the mitzvos, there is a unique status of Eretz Yisrael independent of those of that, you know, formal Kedusha. They called it Shame Eretz Yisrael, the name Eretz Yisrael, but that's a vague term. What it means is Eretz Yisrael is important, as we see, we get the indication for all Sefer Bereishis, Eretz Yisrael is important before Yeshua ever got there, maybe even. And certainly after Yeshua came, even though Kedusha Rishayna dissipated, but it's still Eretz Yisrael. It's still important. It's still central in our philosophy. So even though the form of Kedusha doesn't exist, Eretz Yisrael has this, what they called Shame Eretz Yisrael, but it's just some sort of, you know, a vague term to describe that Eretz Yisrael has significance above and beyond the Kedusha, the form of Kedusha that exists in the land for Trumas and Maizos. This might even be the reason why there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. For example, and this concept is already found in the Ritva, the Mishnah says in Masechet Gittin the following. If you bring a get normally is given from a man to a wife. You know, he gives the get and he puts it in her hand. Typical get. But sometimes you could have the two are not, you know, they're separated, I guess, and they're not living near one another. So he's in Medinas Hayom and she's in Eretz Yisrael. So you bring a get from Medinas Hayom, so you appoint a shliach who brings the get. So you bring a get from Medinas Hayam, the shliach has to say, Bifanai Nechtav or Bifanai Nechtam. In front of me, it was signed, and in front of me, it was sealed. How do we know? How do we know it was written Lishma? That's one but the concern the Gemara has. A get has to be written Lishma, Lishem Isha, Lishem Lishma, Lishma. So how do we know if it was written Lishma? So now if it's an Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara assumes they're Beki and Lishma. They know how to write a get. Chutz La'aretz Amaratzim. Might not know how to write again, so the attitude still exists as much as that. So maybe in order to then validate the get, you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. If it's an Eretz Yisrael, look at the last line of the Mishnah. Maybe get by Eretz Yisrael, ain't no tzarich shiyama b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. You don't have to say in front of me it was written, in front of me it was sealed. But if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz, since they were not b'ki and lishma, that's one opinion. The Gemara why you have to do this is you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. First Mishnah in get. What's called Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean, what's called there? But the Gemara gives, the Mishnah gives, boundaries. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Oyma, may rekem lemizrach, verekem kimizrach. Rekem from the east, and rekem is the east. Meaning it's in the border. May Ashkelon ledaroim, from Ashkelon and south, meaning Ashkelon, I'm sorry, may rekem to the east, that's the western border. Meaning as far, right? If I say may Ashkelon Lidarum, I apologize. This is the southern border. Ashkelon Lidarum, Ashkelon to the south, and Ashkelon is part of the south, meaning that's, that is, Ashkelon is in? Yes, Ashkelon is in. May Akko Litzafon, from Akko to the north, Akko Kitzafon, and Akko is in Eretz Yisrael. So Akko is in Eretz Yisrael, as we know there's a city in Akko. Ashkelon is in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Tosfos writes over there in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Hikshu Rabbeinu Tam, the Ashkelon Eretz Yisrael hi. Oh, I'm sorry. The Mishnah is saying Ashkelon Kidarom, but Ashkelon is out. I apologize. Ashkelon Kidarom, that's like the south. That's out. Akko Litzafon, and Akko is out. Correct. That's how you read it. Everybody say you understand? That's the border, and that city is in or out? That's out. That's Kidarom. Ashkelon is not like Eretz Yisrael. That's out. That's too far south. Akko is too far north. Ashkelon too far south. That's the border city, and the border city is out.
Ashkelon's not so south.
Okay, but it's out.
No.
The Mishnah says it's out. Hikshar Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam asked, Ashkelon Eretz Yisrael. What are you talking about? Ashkelon is out. Akko is out. Ashkelon is part of Eretz Yisrael. Dichsib Yeshua, because it says in Sefer Yeshua, Zoyz Haaretz Hanisharis. This is the land that remained. Hashdodi Vashkeloni. This is part of what they conquered. Vayikadua Yehudas Azaves Ashkelon Ves Gvulosel. So says Rabbeinu Tam, you're right, Ashkelon was conquered by who? Yeshua. Ooh. But Vamer Vedam, the Ole Bavel Lord Kivshua. In the times of Yoshua, Ezra, and Nehemiah, they did not conquer Ashkelon. So Ashkelon is what out with regards to bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael. They have to say, B'fanei Nechem. It has to do with Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael. There's no Kedusha in Ashkelon. Out. Even though Yoshua conquered it. The Jews, it's a Jewish city. Too bad. Ezra Nehemiah did not conquer it. It's out. Okay? Harbe Krochim Kivshim Oli Mitzrayim Velo Kivshim Oli Bavel. Third line of Tosfos. That's why it says Tosfos, L'kach Ein Tamid HaChacham Mitzuyin Sham Ve'en Beis Din Kvuin Sham. That's why there's no Beis in there, there's no Tamid HaChacham there. They don't know how to write a get L'shma. You have to write B'fanei Nachum, but you have to say B'fanei Nachum, B'fanei Nachum. What about Akko? Akko was conquered. Kivshua Oli Bavel. Akko was conquered by Bavel. How do you know Akko was conquered by Bavel? How do you know? He's a Raya from the Gemara in Ksubis. What's the Gemara in Ksubis? Kedar Amar B'Soif Ksubis. Rabbi Abba Hava Menashe Kipi Da Akko. Rabbi Abba, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael at Akko, which was clearly a border city to the north, arrived from Bavel, what did he do? He kissed the ground. I remember the old days of Ben Gurion Airport. People used to get it before they never used to bring you to a gate. You have to walk down the stairs, like you see in the, you know, probably in the movies you people have seen. You have to walk down the stairs and take a bus. Everybody.
Something recent started.
Yeah. So you used to have to, I called my parents with Asimones, and we wrote letters, and whatever, that's a whole different schmooze. But anyway, we had to wait on lines, pay phones, anyway. So when I remember, people used to get down, all it was mice in the whole flight. People would get down afterwards and kiss the ground. Now, I don't think that probably doesn't happen anymore. But okay, but that's Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, Havi Menashe, keep it to Akko. So what do you see as Akko then, Eretz Yisrael, yes or no? Of course. He's kissing the ground. He's not kissing Bavel. Clearly then, probably had to do, it was Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Loi Kashamidi. So why is Akko out? How come that's not in the borders of Eretz Yisrael for B'fanei Nechtam? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Loi Kashamidi da Akko haisa chetzi ba'aretz v'chetzi b'chutz la'aretz. It was half-half. It was a divided city. First divided city. Half was in Eretz Yisrael, half in Chutz La'aretz. Yeah.
So if half of it is outside, then that renders the whole thing not...
No. The Mishnah is referring to the half that's outside. Rabbi Abba kissed the half that was inside.
Would Ashkelon and Akko not have to give true masters now?
So the Ashkelon...
Ashkelon nowadays, they wouldn't have to?
Well, now we resettled it. And yeah, you're assuming their Ashkelon is the same as our Ashkelon.
But what is that after Bava? I mean,
if we resettle it... We're a part of Oile Bavel too.
So then we settle Jordan, we would have to.
If we would resettle the... Yeah, Aman, you have...
Don't you decide to do it first?
Huh?
Yeah.
We don't have to... That's to extend it to new territories that Yeshua never conquered. Like, there's a dispute whether Yeshua conquered a lot. Was Yeshua that far south? I don't know. So some say yes. Huh?
A lot of people say that's not part of it.
Right, so if that... If Yeshua was there, and we go back and resettle it, so then, yeah, you're right. But if Yeshua was never there, we would need a Melech and a Sanhedrin, you know, you need all the conditions, yeah.
According to, like, I guess, the implication of this would be that you would need a Kedusha to Aretz, right, to not have to do, say, Pani Nechtam, Pani Nechtam, right?
That's the Tosfos assumption, yeah.
Right, but then what would be the point of the rationale given in the Gemara that the reason is they didn't? They
had to
say that was because people in
Chazaretz were in people. Right. No, it's not. He's saying what?
This kind of like
where, he assumed wherever Jews came and resettled, there was a Beis Din and Talmid Chacham. If Jews didn't come and resettle there, there was no Beis Din and no Talmid Chacham. So he says they never came back and resettled this en masse. There might be an individual who has an apartment there who wrote a get to his wife, but it's not a resettled city to call it. There's Talmid Chacham and we know how to write a get.
So then it doesn't actually have anything.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But what does have to do with Kedusha is, Tosfos assumes, this is a big assumption, Rabbi Abba would only kiss the ground if what? If it were Kadosh. If it were not Kadosh, he would not have kissed the ground. So must be, says Tosfos, Oile Bavel conquered Akko. How do you know? Otherwise, Rabbi Abba would never have kissed the ground. So if it was conquered by Oile Bavel, there's Tamid HaChachamim there, and there's a base in there. Why do they have to say, B'fanei Nechtam, they know how to write a get? He answers that Akko was a divided city. But he assumes no one would kiss the ground were it not for the fact that it was Kadosh. The Ritva in that Gemara disagrees. Writes the Ritva about Akko. Vada mikibu shniya haisa. Akko was certainly conquered in the times of Oile Bavel. Kedamina b'shil hiksubis, Rabbi Abba Menashe, kipa da Akko. Rabbi Abba kissed the ground, and Akla Amma b'kedushasa haisa. Must be it was conquered. V'imloi kivshua la haisa kedusha. If it wasn't conquered in the times of Ali Bavel, it wouldn't be holy. The hakaimelan the kedusha vishayna shekid sheyoshua kitcha l'shayta v'loi kitcha l'asalava. If it was only conquered in the times of Yeshua, that was l'shayta, not l'asalava. So must be it was conquered. Why do you have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav? Says the Ritva, no, that's not a raya. The fact that Rabbi Abba kissed the ground? That's not a raya that Oile Bavil came there. Maybe they never came there. Why then did he kiss the ground? Yesh lefaresh and mishum halayirya. That's not a raya either way. De'evshar delay kivshua. It was never conquered by Oile Bavil. It was conquered by Yeshua, but not Oile Bavil. V'yava pisha batla kedushasa. Even though the kedusha was gone, chibasa loy batla. Chibas ha'aretz loy batla. What he calls chibas ha'aretz, our love, our desire for Eretz Yisrael, that has not dissipated. So even though the kedusha, yes, you're right, the kedusha might be gone, but there's what he calls chibas ha'aretz, and that's probably represented. We discussed this on that Sunday. Represented by the Gemara Masechtas Tainus. The Gemara tells us Masechtas Tainus that all the nations of the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu provides their parnasa through messengers. But Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashke ba'atzma. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides the rain himself, as the pasuk says, that Einei Hashem alekecha ba meireishis hashana, meireishis hashana rachrashana. Right from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Many Torahs on that. From the beginning of the year, the ha, he knows what we're talking about. To the beginning of the year to the end of the year, Kadosh Baruch Hu waters Eretz Yisrael, provides the rain himself. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has a unique hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael that does not exist throughout the rest of Chutz La'aretz. We explain that that's why the Gemara says in Ksubis, whoever lives in a Chutz La'aretz is ki'ilu oved avodah zara. It's as if in a certain sense he's worshipping avodah zara. Why is he worshipping avodah zara? We're not worshipping, we're here in Yeshiva. We're not worshipping avodah zara just because we live in Chutz La'aretz. What it means is we receive our parnasa through a messenger, through a shliach, not from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and that's a certain b'china of avodah zara. Meaning, because we're not directly relating to Hashem, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's a direct relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Who says that?
This is the Avnei Nezer, puts these two things together. So it sounds like that this is part of what defines Chibas Ha'aretz. To live under the Hashgach of the Ribbono Shel Olam is not dependent on Kedushas Ha'aretz. Eretz Yisrael has a unique status and significance in our world thinking, irregardless of the fact of whether it has Kedusha or not. So it sounds like for the Ritva, that's what the mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz is all about. That's why Rabbi Abba kissed the Kipe Da'ako, the mountaintops in Akko, not because it was had Kedusha, there was Trumas and Maitzis there and Shvius there. It's because Eretz Yisrael is a special place. And that's why perhaps you have to live there, to be Tachas, the Hashgachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live on the, you know, closer within the Kanfei Hashchina. A closer relation with Hashem. And that has nothing to do with Kedusha at the time of Yeshua. Yeshua endowed with Kedusha, but it has nothing to do with whether Oile Bavel came back or didn't come back. He's a Chumas HaMaisis D'Raisa and D'Rabbana, it doesn't matter. Eretz Yisrael is a special place, and that's why there's a mitzvah to live there. Taisvis doesn't seem to understand like that. Taisvis seems to understand what is the reason you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why would there be Abba kiss to keep it Da'ako? Only if what? It was Kadosh. Only if there were mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. Only if there's trumas and maizus and shvius. If Oile Bavil didn't come back there, no one's kissing the ground. It's not kadosh. Yeah, he's a halachic man. You know, if it's not kadosh, there's no emotion. He's out. Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean anything right now. There's no kedusha. And the Ritva argues that's not what Eretz Yisrael, living Eretz Yisrael is about. Living Eretz Yisrael is not only about fulfilling the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, it's about attaching yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that chibas ha'aretz that goes above and beyond the kedusha. Taisa Shita might be reflected by a famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Sota the following. Darash Rabbi Simloi. Mibnei Manas Ava Moshe Rabbeinu Likanis La'aretz. As we know, at the beginning of Parshas V'Eschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading with the Ribbono Shel Olam to allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael. He davened for the Gematria of V'Eschanan, 515 tefillahs to enter. What does Moshe Rabbeinu want to enter Eretz Yisrael so badly for? V'chilecho mipir Yehud Tzarech. What does he want to eat? Its fruit? Or lisboya mituva? To eat its wheat, its produce. Elokach Amar Moshe, Harbe mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael v'miskayim el bar Eretz Yisrael. There are many mitzvahs you can only fulfill in Eretz Yisrael. Ekanes ani la'aretz kedei shiyiskayimu kulon al yadi. He desired to fulfill those mitzvahs. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu, if that's your reason, Kluma Tamavakisho Kabal Schar, you want reward, Malni Alecha Kilu Asisim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you the reward, but you can't enter. So it sounds like from the Gemara, what's the whole purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvah Satulias Baretz. And that's why Tosfos writes controversial statement, but Tosfos and always Yud, we can't ignore it, it's a Tosfos. Tosfos writes in Ksubis that the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz ain't a noig bizman hazeh. Does not apply nowadays. The ika sakanas drachim, it's too dangerous. That's interesting. You don't have to give up your life rather than live in Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Ki yesh kama mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz v'kama ha'inchin. There are many mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, and the punishments for them are grave. There's kares, if you eat tevel, produce without separating trumas and maizes, it's tevel. We can't possibly keep these, at least at the time of Rabbeinu Tam. It's not possible to keep them properly. The proper standard. So what? You can't keep it the proper standard. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael independent of the mitzvah that's Tzulius Baritz. You see from Titus? No, that's not the case. What's the whole purpose to live in Eretz Yisrael? Mitzvah that's Tzulius Baritz. So therefore, if you're not going to keep them properly, don't go. That's what Titus says. You're not going to keep probably. Don't go, because the whole nature of the mitzvah is to keep the mitzvah of Tzulius Baritz. That's why Tosfos says no one would kiss keeping the alcohol unless it was Trumas and Maizes, unless a bubble came there. Otherwise, no one would do it. And the Ritva says, no. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, kissing the ground, a desire to live there, not only to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzulius Baritz. That might have been Moshe Rabbeinu's motivation. But there's an independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, to have that closer bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam, what the Ritva calls Chibas Haaretz, or what the Salvation called Shame Eretz Yisrael. And then according to that perspective, the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz would be in full force. Whether or not you can keep the mitzvah of Tzulius Baretz properly or you can't, there's a mitzvah to attach yourself to that and to a greater degree to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah.
He said that Moshe had, that Hashem showed Moshe, that the Chiba itself gets you the scar for it.
Or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need that part. I mean, he already was enjoying it. Punim, you know.
Right. So
Adaber Bo. Moshe Rabbeinu had that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But the one additional one.
The Chiba being in Eretz Yisrael. He himself wasn't there, but he got Kilo, he did all the mitzvahs of Eretz
Yisrael. Uh-huh. Okay, so you see this, again, this concept. So it could be that this concept is reflected as well in this halacha by Smicha, by Egla Rufa. That these concepts, Smicha, Egla, Rufa, even though you're right, there's no Kedushas Haaretz in Eivar Yarden, there's no Trumas HaMaisus in Eivar Yarden, in the places that Olam Mitzrayim came and only Bavel did not come, and Smicha and Egla, Rufa are only in Eretz Yisrael, and there's no Kedushas Haaretz in these places, nonetheless, the Rambam feels that as long as it was conquered by Olam Mitzrayim, there is that shame Eretz Yisrael, that's part of the, the destiny of Klal Yisrael is to resettle these properties. That's part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it would enjoy, if not Kedushas Haaretz, it would enjoy this secondary status of what the Ritva calls Chibas Haaretz, or Shame Eretz Yisrael. It has a unique role and significance independent of the fact that it's not Kadosh, but Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But then we have to ask, why only these two halachas? Why Smicha and Egla Rufa? Maybe Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it would be debatable. Would Yishuv Eretz Yisrael apply? Let's say I would go live in Amman, Jordan. Would you be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz?
No, because it's not in our possession.
No, I'm going to go and live there. Do I connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the same way as Yerushalayim? No, Yerushalayim, of course, is special. But let's say I live somewhere else, Bnei Brak, or Amman. Vis-a-vis the mitzvah, not the Avira. Obviously, that is very different. Yeah, and you any Daryl Malcolm Tyra, of course. But I'm saying, but vis-a-vis the you know, simply on account of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, can you live Be'evar Yarden? So I'm sorry I didn't give it to you, but the Radvaz on this Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin writes that according to the Ritva, yes, Shame Eretz Yisrael, if the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz depends on Shame Eretz Yisrael, you could live there. He quotes the name of the Kaft of Aferach. Kaft of Aferach was one of the early Rishonim who traveled to Eretz Yisrael. So his opinion was, if you, according to the Ritva, we saw that according to the Ritva, there's Chibas Haaretz, Rabbi Abba was Menashe Kippa the Akko, even though the Olei Bavel never came back. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz in Eivar Yarden. So Amman Jordan, if it's in the Halachic Eivar Yarden, would also enjoy that status of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Taisus seems to be would disagree, but and others disagree as well with that Kaft of Aferach that's quoted by the Radvaz in Hilchos Sanhedrin. The Radvaz is a commentary on the side of the Rambam, so he quotes over the Kaft of Aferach, "You fulfill Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Eber Yarden." Other Rishonim would disagree. Probably Taisus would disagree.
So there's no mitzvah at all.
Yeah, but why these two halachas? Oh, because because we can't fulfill the mitzvah to this bar. Nowadays we can fulfill the mitzvah to this bar.
Still dangerous though.
Yeah. But why these two halachas? Why smicha? Why egla arufa? Why only these two? What's unique about these two? That it only chutzlar. That these don't depend on kedushas haris. They depend on shame eretz Yisrael. Why? What's special about these two? Yeah.
Also, regarding like reading Megillah in the times of the walled city, time of Yeshua. So there's a walled city in say like Jordan. Would you guys have to say like read
interesting.
Megillah?
Are there?
I have no idea. I'm just thinking, like, hypothetically, would that halacha apply?
It's a cool Purim story.
Yeah,
huh? Think about it. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You say walled city. I'll do one better. What about a walled city like in Europe? But there were no walled cities. Where else was there a walled city?
Iraq.
Has walled cities from the time of Yeshua ben Nun?
Yeah, that's
now there's no more walls. ISIS probably got rid of all the walls.
Shiloh about Tehran, I thought.
Tehran?
Around Tehran.
Really?
There's
a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben
Nun? No, Ben Yishai says that there was a thing, so they do two.
He lives in Iraq.
Oh, they do 2 days. Yeah. But why these two halachas? So Salvation continued, and he suggested that perhaps it's because these two halachas don't depend on Eretz Yisrael at all. They depend on all of Klal Yisrael. There's certain mitzvahs like conferring smicha, like the Egla Arufa. It's not because you need Eretz Yisrael because of a Kedushas Haaretz, like Chumas and Maishas. This is not a mitzvah Tluya Baaretz. This is because Eretz Yisrael enjoys this unique status, as we said, and therefore that renders whoever lives there as considered to be halachic Klal Yisrael. If you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you might be a congregation of Jews, but you are not halachically Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is it this part of the land enjoy unique status in terms of its relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but because of that, as a function of that, whoever lives there is front and center with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're, the front row. They're Klal Yisrael. If you're out of Eretz Yisrael or out of shame Eretz Yisrael, you're not sitting in the front rows, you're in the back. You're not really part of halachic Klal Yisrael. And these two halachas depend on Klal Yisrael. The Rambam, in his Perush HaMishnayos to Maseches Becharis, says a similar idea. Writes the Rambam, we saw this at the beginning of the year, if you remember. The Rambam writes, Kvar be'arnu b'tchila Sanhedrin, she'ein nikra beizdin b'stamo samuch b'Eretz Yisrael. In order to be a judge on a real beizdin, you have to receive smicha on Eretz Yisrael. Bein shai samuch mipi samuch o b'haskamas b'nei Yisrael l'mnosa Rosh Hashiva. Either you receive, as we said, the transmission mi'ishim p'ishim Moshe Rabbeinu, or even if the smicha was abandoned, you can rejuvenate the smicha by gathering all the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael together and re-establishing the smicha. Why does it have to be in Eretz Yisrael? L'fi sh'b'nei Eretz Yisrael heim asher nikrohin kohol. That who's called Kal. Kal Yisrael is the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Because they're front and center with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They enjoy that special relationship. The Jews outside, second thought. Even if they're a very large community, they're not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is only the Jews, perhaps, who live in Eretz Yisrael. And these two halachas, Egla Arufa and Smicha, don't depend on Kedushas Haaretz. No, so you don't need Olei Bavel. It's not Chumas and Maaseres. It depends on Klal Yisrael. Who's Klal Yisrael? Whoever lives is sitting in the front rows of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whoever is living in Eretz Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. But there, Eretz Yisrael doesn't depend upon Kedushas Haaretz. It would be the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that enjoy that unique status with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that close relationship. That's shame, Eretz Yisrael. That's the chashivos, the stature, the significance of Eretz Yisrael above and beyond the Kedusha. You see this concept elsewhere. Rav Kook develops this. He has this in the Tshuvos of the Mishpat Kain, where he says, we mentioned a few days ago the problem that the Rush brings up. You know, how come it is in Eretz Yisrael, we start saying V'sein Talamot Levracha right after Sukkot until Pesach. That's when they need rain in Eretz Yisrael. And we discuss, what about the Jews in the Southern Hemisphere? That's their summertime. They need rain in their winter, which is our summer. How come they don't switch? So the Rush brought up this problem. You remember the Rush tried to switch it, and no one accepted the Rush. And we left it off as a major conundrum. The Rush seems to be right. How come no one ever accepted the Rush, particularly in Europe, where you have a big community of Jews? Switch. They're not Yechidim, big community. So says of Cook, no. You know why we rejected the Rush? Because Klal Yisrael is an Eretz Yisrael. Whatever is an Eretz Yisrael, that's Klal. So everyone else is Yechidim. They're individuals. There's one exception to that, he says, was Bavel. When they all left Eretz Yisrael, literally everyone was in Bavel. Not everyone, there was always Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but the majority of Jews were in Bavel in one place. Maybe that's called Klal Yisrael. So Bavel started Shishim Begayla, 60 days after the Tkufa. But after that, once that concept was lost, you don't have everybody localized in that one place, people are spread out throughout Europe. That's not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the default position of Klal Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. That's Klal Yisrael. Everybody else is a random group of Yechidim.
So if it's part of the Klal Yisrael, we think we go right after, like what Eretz Yisrael does, not what we do.
What do you mean?
We don't do that.
We do like B'nai Bavel.
Yeah.
So the Rav Kook claims, if you subscribe to this, that is because Bavel was unique. There you literally had all the Jews, or the majority of Jews in the world, living in one place. Okay.
So anyone now who's not Eretz Yisrael is considered Bavel.
But here, we don't have the majority of Jews in Brooklyn. You don't have the majority of Jews anywhere in Chutz Laaretz, centralized in one place.
Are they Jews today? Is
it not yet, no, but close. They keep saying soon, soon. Okay. But if you don't have it, who is Klal Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael. Everybody else is individuals. Why, again, this concept that whoever's in Eretz Yisrael enjoys the status of Klal Yisrael, because there, again, they enjoy that unique relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam by being living in shame Eretz Yisrael, or what the Ritva called Chibos Haaretz, the boundaries of Chibos Haaretz. That's perhaps the Maharal writes, that's why Kol Yisrael Arevim Zela Zeh. When did that concept begin? Har Sinai? Is that when that concept began? When did it begin that I'm chayiv if you do an Avera and I don't give you rebuke? When did that begin?
Matan Torah.
You would think it's that Matan Torah. The Gemara says not so. The Gemara, you would think ki ish echad b'lev echad. It wasn't until they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel Midbeis. Rabbi said, turn to Mem Gimel Midbeis. You know, the Pasuk says in Parashas Nitzavim, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglos Lanu Vanenu Ad Olam. That the Averos that are Niglos Lanu, that are obvious to us, that's our, or the things that are Goloi before us, that's our problem, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. But there are Averos that we don't know about, Kadosh Baruch Hu will exact punishment from us. But we don't know about them. How could it be there's an Avera we don't know about? So Rashi already explains, it means the Averas that other Jews do are really an Archeshbin too. A person gets the Chafetz Chaim gives the imagery of a guy who arrives in the Beis Shomala, he's so, you know, he's so confident in that which he did, he knows his Averas, he knows, but he has many mitzvahs. Then he gets there and they start showing him a video, you know, of all of his Averas, and there's a Gilead Rayas and Avodah Zarah and Chilas Shabbos. He says, that wasn't me. He says, no, but Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh. You're chayev for that, which other Jews do too, that you didn't do your best to make sure that they don't violate those Yisurim. Kol Yisrael, Reivim, Zelazeh. You haven't made Kiddush. I, in a certain sense, haven't made Kiddush. So if you do Averis, in a certain sense, I'm chayev for them too. That's Hanistaras Lashem Elokeinu. But as we know, there's dots on tops of the word. There's dots in this week's parasha, when Esav kisses Yaakov. But there's also dots on top of Hanistaras. Why are there dots there? Lama nokud, says the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, four lines from the bottom, and Gimel and Beis. Lama nokud alonu uvanenu. Why is there nekudas on top of those words? Val ayin sheba ad, melamed shaloi anash al hanistaros ad sheovru Yisraelis hayarden. Until they entered Eretz Yisrael, I was not chayev for the friend, for the averus of my fellow Jew. Says the Maharal, you see from here, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh began when? When they entered Eretz Yisrael. Why, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, would Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh begin? Because that's when we became Klal Yisrael. Before then, we're a group of Yechidim. But now, when we entered Eretz Yisrael, we became Klal Yisrael. the nation of the Ribbono Shel Olam that lives under his Hashgacha. Now we're Klal Yisrael, we're unified as a nation by living under the Hashgacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Shechter writes in the Eretz HaTzvi, he says, that's why he believes that a Jew who rejects Eretz Yisrael, nowadays it's in vogue for all the different denominations, the sections, groups within, the larger Jewish people, to subscribe to Eretz Yisrael. But there was a time when certain groups that were not as not religious rejected Eretz Yisrael too. It was in vogue to reject Eretz Yisrael. They wiped it out of their prayer book. So Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, his sefer, he believes that if you reject Eretz Yisrael, you're out of Klal Yisrael. You're Jewish. You might have Kedushas Yisrael. You can't marry a non-Jew. But if you reject Eretz Yisrael, you're not a card-carrying member. You're out. Out of Klal Yisrael. No more Klal Yisrael or Reivim Zelazeh for you. Why? Because it's in order to be part of Klal Yisrael, at least even if you're not going to live in Eretz Yisrael, you got to subscribe, this is his extension, subscribe to the Chashivas of Eretz Yisrael. But if you reject that too, so he said, you're out of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Salavitchik suggested perhaps these two halachas, Egla Rufa and Smicha, can be conferred in Eivra Yarden, only Shem Eretz Yisrael, not Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Why these two halachas? They're not mitzvahs hatuliyas baretz. The answer is because they depend on the nation of Klal Yisrael. You need Klal Yisrael to confer smicha. Klal Yisrael is one who has to bring Egla Rufa. As a community, if someone's killed and we don't know how he died, we have to declare our innocence. That's only in Eretz Yisrael because it's only Eretz Yisrael as a Klal Yisrael as a community. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're not as a community. We're yechidim. But in Eretz Yisrael, we are a community. But that doesn't depend on Kedushas Haaretz. That depends on this second significance to Eretz Yisrael called Shem Eretz Yisrael. The Sri Deyesh writes that perhaps that's why Rav Yehuda ben Bava gave up his life to perform smicha in public. What does he have to make a scene out of everything, Perform smicha. How many people you need already for smicha? Get into a private little room and give smicha. The Gemara says he tried to not draw attention to himself. What did he do? He sat between two cities, between two tchumen. But what did everybody... Go into a private room and confer smicha. You only have to be underneath, outside underneath the stars. What is it, Why does it have to be outside in public? Do it in their private homes. They had no idea it would take place. Says the Sri Deyesh, it couldn't be done in private. You know why it had to be done in public? Because it's a community event. Conferring smicha is something that's a community event that you need all of Klal Yisrael to sort of to participate. So that's why Sri Deyesh said it had to be done in public. Yeah. So perhaps these two, huh?
Yeah, I come and these questions since
then. What? Yeah.
Throughout all these times. This wasn't talking about smicha as being this is talking about in our Gemara. We're talking about smicha.
Genuine smicha.
At any time for in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Like it's not like the first one after years of not having smicha.
Correct. So why should you? But either way, it's still that element exists that it should be done in public. That's what he's arguing. Since it's really,
This is public. If it is even more private, going into
No, there were clearly people there. They found out about it. How did they find out about it? You can do stuff in your home. No one's going to find out. Be a little discreet. You know what I mean? And so who's going to find it? Who's publicizing it? The answer is no. It was a public event.
Rashi
because
says he did it there just so he wouldn't mess over the rest
the
of
other cities. Yes.
So
but clear it wasn't public. They found out about it. So Sri Deyesh says, even though we weren't conferring smicha for the first time, it's something that is relevant to Klal Yisrael as a nation, and therefore he felt it should be done in public. Anyway, so that's this second concept. So smicha, egla rufa, both have to be done in Eretz Yisrael, but perhaps the boundaries are a little bit bigger. Even those places that only enjoy Shem Eretz Yisrael, or this what we call chibas haaretz, but not necessarily kedushas haaretz, because these are Klal Yisrael, defined as a nation, is only in Eretz Yisrael, but perhaps that's not related to kedushas haaretz, that relates to Shem Eretz Yisrael. That second significance there is Israel. And these halachas depend on Klal Yisrael as a nation, not on Kedushas Haaretz. Yeah.
Can you explain why Joseph doesn't believe it? Like, how based on Joseph we learn that he doesn't hold of Shem Eretz Yisrael?
He holds it might exist. That's not the reason there's a mitzvah to live there. The reason there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael
is only to
fulfill the mitzvahs. Otherwise, his argument doesn't hold water. You can't fulfill the mitzvah, so don't go. What do you mean? But there's a mitzvah to do it.
Right. So he still might believe that Shem Eretz Yisrael would be the reason why we can only use smicha. And
correct. I agree. Yes. Let me share with you one other halacha. It's important because it keeps coming up. Came up last daf. Comes up this daf. The Braisa says at the bottom is two dots, and then a Braisa. Tana Rabbanon. V'yatzu zikeinecha v'shoiftecha. How many dayonim do you need to perform egla rufa? To measure the body, which city is it closest to? So v'yatzu zikeinecha v'shoiftecha zikeinecha shnayim, zoiftecha shnayim. That's four. Two, that's four. V'ein beizin shakum asifin alein oidechon. You can't have an even number of dayanim, so we add one. Make it five. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon holds two. Zikeinecha shayftecha means miuchadim shebishayftecha, the special people from the bezin agadol we saw yesterday. But you can't have a bezin of two. Ain bezin shakum asifin alein oidechon. So we add another one. We had a similar concept by smicha, by the parhelim davar shel tzibor. Remember when they were putting their hands on top of the animal of Rove of Kalai, so it makes a mistake because of a mistaken sock of the Bezin Agodo. We don't bring individual carbonos. They bring a carbon on behalf of all of Kalai Yisrael. How many dayonim do you need? The Pasuk says, Vesamchu ziknei, what was the Pasuk? Vesamchu ziknei ha'ir ha'eda sidei marosh hapar. How many is that? Some said what? Samchu is two, Zikne two, Ein Bezdin Shokol, you can't have an even Bezdin. The other one does Darshan Zikne two, Samchu he doesn't Darshan. You need Lugufe, so two, but Ein Bezdin Shokol, you add one. What do you need a Bezdin Shokol for? Everybody say, why do you need a Bezdin Shokol? Ein Bezdin Shokol. I'm sorry, why do you need a Bezdin that's odd number of Dayanim? Why can't you have an even number of Dayanim? If there'll be a Machlaikas, it'll fall out of tie. We can't have a tie. Does it make sense over here? We're putting our hands on top of the animal. Well, there's going to be a machlekes all of a sudden? A tie? Smicha. I'm sorry, egla rufa. We're measuring. Would there be a machlekes? I don't know. Do you have a machlekes about such a thing? What do you mean? Ein beis shaku, so we shouldn't have achri rabim lahatos. We won't have a... You have to follow the majority and adjudicate the case. So you have to have a majority. You have to have an odd number of dayanim, so you have a majority. And if one guy says any day we talk about, you add... What do you need? A Bezin Shokol over here. So this kash is already asked by Taisvis. Maseftes Yevamis. Taisvis Maseftes Yevamis. Daf Kuf Alef and Aleph asks. Chalitza also you need a Bezin. You need a Bezin to do a Chalitza. That's if the man is married to a woman and he dies without children. So she falls to Chalitza before his brother. Either he can marry her, do Yibum, or he has to do the whole ceremony of Chalitza, spitting in the shoe and everything, and she's released. But that has to take place in front of a Beis Din. How many Dayanim do you need for such a Beis Din? Says the Gemara in Yevamos, three. Why? Ain't Beis Din Shokol. You can't have two. See, it has to be three. You have to have an odd number of Dayanim. Ask Taisus, an odd number of Dayanim for the Chalitza, what's going to happen already? But you need an odd number of Dayanim for Rav La'atos. All they're doing here is witnessing a Chalitza. What machlekes? Jews, you know, they always have more opinions than people. But there's nothing discussed here. All they're doing is witnessing. Nothing. So ask Taisus, Hagabi Chalitza, she's sharper than Ainbez and Shakal. Taisus says, no, the truth of the matter is, Chalitza, you can't have an even number of Dayanim. The Ainbez and Shakal, Masif and Lein Oidecha, the Ha'ika, Kama Pukdim, and Masnissin, there are many machlekes in the Mishnah about how to do Chalitza. So we don't want a machlekes to break out about what is the proper process for Chalitza, and we won't have a way of resolving that. So you need a Beis Din there in case a halachic issue will arise. Ain Beis Din Shoko. We need an odd number of Dayanim. Aval le'inyan smichas par. What about our Gemara? You give them a Beis. Smichas par. The Be'ina Nami Shloisha Kasha. What do you need three Dayanim? All you're doing is putting your head on top of the animal. We decided already we made a mistake. That's over. All you're doing is putting your head on top. What do you need Ain Beis Din Shoko for? Yeshlom the Hasam Nami Ikaplukta. You could also have a machlekes. Because the machlekes, do you supposed to be samech b'chol koichoi or not with all your weight? So machlekes will break out. Are you doing a b'chol koichoi? What's b'chol koichoi? Hukba, hukba. Machlekes might break out. Okay. We need ein beis din shokol. Then Taisus provides a second answer. Oyd yesh loimar. De b'chol duchtin de ba'inan roi le beis din ein beis din shokol. Anytime you need a Beis Din, you cannot have an even number of Dayanim. You must have an odd number of Dayanim. Even if no Machlekes could possibly break out, you need an odd number of Dayanim. It's a Din in Beis Din. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan writes in his parish in Chayshe Mishpat called Nachal Yitzchak that these 2 days and Taisus are expressing two different fundamentally understandings of this rule of Ein Beis Din Shakal. Ein Beis Din Shakal, just a practical Eitzah, you can't adjudicate matters if you're an even number of Dayanim. So add an odd Dayan. Or is this a halakha? No, every time you need a Beis Din, Ein Beis Din Shakal. You cannot have an even number of Dayanim. What will the difference be? A Beis Din where literally nothing could go wrong. You say, but there's always something could go wrong. But let's say a Prusbol. Anybody here do make a Prusbol before a Shana? Beis Din. You must say your star to Beis Din. What in the world? The truth of the matter is, we had a machlekes in our Beis Din, you know, about who needs to write a Prusbol. Fine, but once you write a Prusbol, there's no thinking involved. You know, you hand over the star, Shalom al Yisrael. That's it. Do you need an odd number of Dayanim for a Beis Din, for a Prusbol? Or can you get by with two? Shnayim Shadanu, Dinayim Din. Anybody here sit before a Beis Din? You had two witnesses?
I did it for like Prusbol and Taras Nedarim.
Yeah. Taras Nedarim. You can have a Machlekes. So you can have a real Machlekes by Taras Nedarim. But by Beis Din for Prusbol, or get also has to be given in front of Beis Din. How many Dayanim do you need? What in the world could go wrong? So I'm sorry I didn't give it to you, but the Rashba writes, I believe in Gittin, Adaf Lamed Zayin, if you want to look it up, that for Prusbol and forget, 2 Dayanim. You don't need 3. It's not Halacha and Beis Din, it's only if something will come up. But others disagree. This second opinion in Taisus would say, no, wherever you need a Beis Din, you need 3. So for Prusbol or for a Get, you would also need 3. If that's the Halacha, that it's whenever you need a Beis Din, you need 3, we understand by the Egla Rufa. Why you need 3? Over here, Yadadam and Aleph. A Beis Din needs 3. Or a Beis Din needs an odd number of Dayanim. You can't have a Din in Beis Din, it should be odd. It's the tour of a Beis Din. Or if you hold like the first opinion in Tosfos, know that it's not that every Beis Din has to be an odd number of Dayanim. It's only when a Machlekes could break out. You'll have to say, well, Machlekes over here could break out about which city is closest, you know, how to measure. You'll say, well, how could it possibly be a Machlekes will break out, you know, about. I've had. When I do Erevin, you go different Rabbanim, and you know, we're talking about, you know, is it this, is it that? There's always, it's Metzius, yes or no? It's not a halachic issue. We're not talking Mar Mekaymus over here. You know, we get up, is the wire on top of the pole or not? The 5 Rabbanim, 5 different, you know, everybody's got a different perspective. It usually has to do with how much you're a part of the expenses of the Erev. Meaning, if you usually pay for it, usually they think everything is good. If you're not involved in paying for it, so then it doesn't matter, you know. Usually everything is puzzle. So anyway, so you can have machlekes about Metzius. Is it closest to this city or closest to that city? So we need Dayanim. You need an odd number of Dayanim. According to the second opinion in Taisus, we don't have to say that. We could say, no, every Beis Din has to be an odd number of Dayanim. It's a Din in Beis Din. Maybe even by a Prusbol, maybe even by a Get. Okay, Shkoyach Chevron.